One of the biggest takeaways from the Flint water crisis was the keen awareness the city's aging water infrastructure needs to be replaced. Out with the lead pipes, in with the updated water lines that won't leach lead into the city's water. But paying for that, well, that's a tall order for any city, let alone a struggling city like Flint. Congressman Dan Kildee thinks the EPA might be able to offer some special help to Flint, and he's with us now. Congressman, what are you thinking of?
This is something that we've been working on really since last March, since long before this lead issue came up. We're asking the State Department of Environmental Quality and the EPA to agree to forgive some of the debt that the city of Flint has to the Clean Drinking Water Revolving Loan Fund. It's federal money that the state administers, and what we're simply asking is that in some ways, in response or compensation for the damage that the state has done to the Flint water system, to simply forgive that past debt. It's about $22 million, which could then be used either to reduce the water rates in Flint or maybe redirect the money that would be used for loan repayment for improvements. It would be tantamount to getting the city $22 million of help. It's incumbent that the state and the EPA work together to get that done.
And how confident are you that they will do that?
It's hard to say. It comes down to some legal interpretations. I've been working very closely with Senator Stabenow and Senator Peters on this. They are very engaged on it as well. And we'll see. But it's one of a whole list of things that we think would be very helpful to the city of Flint water system and the city of Flint residents. And it's, we think, something that the state of Michigan owes to the people of Flint.
So something to keep an eye on. Let's pivot now, if we might, over to yesterday's House vote on your colleague Candace Miller's bill that would tighten up the visa waiver program. It passed 407-19. You were one of those no votes. What would this bill do?
Just to be clear, I support the direction that this bill takes. It would tighten up the visa waiver system so that the people who are citizens of the 38 nations that don't have to apply for a visa in order to travel among those nations would be subject to greater scrutiny. I found that it was basically the right direction, using technology to tighten up tracking of those individuals so that if there are any red flags, they would not automatically be able to travel without a visa and without a more thorough review. My view is that the bill, it wasn't ready for us to take up because there were still some glaring deficiencies. One, that in order to be quick, they basically said, based on your ancestry, you could be subject to the provisions that take away the ability to use the visa waiver program. And I just don't feel like we ought to be taking whole categories of peoples without any scrutiny applied to them and simply say, because of who you are and where you came from, your rights are going to be limited. I thought that was a mistake, and I think it's something that could be corrected. The other problem I had with it is that there were no exceptions for people working on humanitarian aid or journalists or researchers. And especially when it comes to journalists, it is really important that they be able to move quickly and effectively in and out of these dangerous parts of the world, because that's the only way the world knows what's happening in those places. And the fact that this bill just left them out, I think, was a mistake. And when I look at these pieces of legislation, I often vote for bills that are not precisely written the way I would like them written. This one just fell short of that mark. I continue to press the Senate to deal with some of the deficiencies that I have raised.
I also want to touch on, I read your comment, your statement after Donald Trump's proposal to ban all Muslims, and you made quite a point that your constituent, Amir Hekmati, a former Marine who has been in an Iranian prison, is Muslim and, as you say, demonized by this.
Right.
And you say, no room in our country for such hateful rhetoric. And that view seems to have united leaders of both parties. But what I want to ask you, Congressman, what of these crowds at the Trump rallies that we see them? We saw them in Birch Run when he was in Michigan, and we see them constantly cheering for every word Donald Trump is saying and getting more whipped up with every speech he takes. So let's look ahead a year, and let us say Donald Trump is not President Trump. But what do you think happens to these people across America who love everything he is saying?
Well, this is one of those moments where you realize that leadership has responsibility associated with it, and Mr. Trump has never gotten that lesson. He needs to be responsible with the things he says, because there are people in this country who, once they decide they're for someone, they tend to stick with them no matter what they say. In other words, public opinion is not something that's just sort of organic. public opinion is formed, and it's formed by speech. It's formed by positions asserted by people who presumably have some degree of respect or are expected to have a degree of knowledge more than the average citizen. So I worry that he is whipping up a sentiment, not just taking advantage of a sentiment, but whipping up a sentiment that equates people who don't look like us with the problem. The history of this country is full of examples where that, or the history of the world for that matter, full of examples where that sort of approach has really undermined the fundamental fabric of a society. It's almost impossible to find analogies that are not appropriate. And I've heard analogies to what Mr. Trump is doing to 1930s in Germany. And I'm very careful to draw those comparisons, except it is an important lesson to see that people can be whipped into a frenzy, whipped up based on their fear and their anxiety to a place that in retrospect they regret having gone. His discussion, his language is really dangerous.
U.S. Congressman Dan Kildee, Democrat from Flint. Always great to talk with you, Congressman. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you very much.